football on off the ball.
He played down at Millwall a couple of times in the Den. That was at a time when Danny Shiddu was the captain of Millwall, and he used to stand at the front of the tunnel with no top on and bark like a dog. Honestly, we can laugh now because it is a bit funny, but it's the most intimidating thing I've ever seen.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join. League of Ireland. On Off The Ball.
Welcome along to this week's edition of the LOI Wrap-Up. I'm Ross Flanagan. On today's episode, Bows pick up their first win since March, Rovers continue top of the table run, Pats get back to winning ways, and Cork get back to the First Division summit. But first, Shelburne continue their poor home form last night with a nil-all draw against Sligo Rovers in Toker Park. Sligo's Archie Meekson had the ball in the back of the net in the second half, but it was deemed offside. Neither side could break the deadlock, which now means Shelburne haven't won a league match in Toker Park since October of last year. Former LOI goalkeeper Barry Murphy talked about Shell's missed chances on last night's LOI late night.
I was expecting goals in Toker Park and they just never came. And to be fair, as nil-alls go, it was actually quite entertaining, but I think hugely frustrating as well, Shane. Shell's played some good stuff up until the final third, but yeah, but just so blunt up top. Ward was excellent. He's a joy to watch every week, but he was the only one really doing anything in the game, trying to break that Sligo defence down. And you just look at the way Sligo set up and you're thinking, John Martin on your own up again. Are we going to see the same stuff we see week in, week out at Toker Park? An isolated centre forward, and we just saw that. He had some good chances, and it took really until Ali Coote came on after about 20 minutes. Jack Henry Francis came off injured, and Coote had two great chances in the first kind of 2 minutes of being on, but just so hard to break Sligo down. And McHugh and Manus just in that two in front of the back four, and it just looked like Shells needed to take Lunny off. I thought they kind of played with Lunny and Kerr in the middle as well, and it just felt like he needed to go to a 4-4-2, set up the way to play away from home and try and get goals that way. They just didn't do it. Meekison had a goal disallowed in the second half as well, and you're thinking, Jesus, here we go again. It's slow. Somebody's going to nick one after all the possession. I think it was 68% possession for Shells, 15 corners, and you know, he made a few saves, a few decent saves, Sergeant, but when you're looking back, you're going, they were comfortable. They were from good areas that Sligo were defending, just defending spaces. They never really broke them down. You're just thinking, you see Sean Boyd warm up on the sideline, you're thinking, great, he's going to come on with Martin up top, he's going to get two up top. But it was one isolated striker for another, and they just couldn't break it down, and ultimately Sligo deserved the point in the end.
You can listen back to the full LOI late night in your OTB podcast feeds. This draw keeps Shelburne in 7th place on 18 points, 1 point behind Drogheda United and Derry City, while Sligo sit in 9th place on 16 points, 10 clear of bottom side Waterford. League leader Shamrock Rovers picked up their third win in a row with an impressive 3-1 away win to Galway United. The Hoops went 2-0 up in the first half thanks to goals from youngsters Michael Noonan and Adam Brennan. The Trisman got one back at the start of the second half through Matthew Wolfe, but the reigning champions closed out the game as Tumizi Subawali picked up his side's third. Johnny Dunleavy was alongside Stephen Doyle for a live and exclusive commentary last night and had this to say about the match.
Funny enough, Galway United were actually very competitive for large parts of the game, and as I said, particularly when the game was 2-1, they looked like they could put Shamrock Rovers in a little bit of trouble, but I suppose the market champion Shamrock Rovers, when they really needed it, when they really needed their players to step up, they managed to get themselves out of it. These aren't the games that are going to define Galway United season. This, any result tonight, I suppose, would have been a bonus for them, but both managers to some degree will be content with their night's work. Yeah, that's it. And I suppose from Stephen Bradley's perspective, maybe you could argue it's a perfect one. It's winning, but you can also say to the lads, actually we weren't brilliant on the night, or we weren't all that good at times, and you know, they can improve on lots of things as well. I suppose it's just a mark of the team and a mark of the squad, the substitutions that they're able to make. I mean, it's such a luxury to be able to bring on players like Dylan Watts, like Graham Burke, like Aaron Green, and then when you're bringing those experienced players on to complement the young players that they've got and the talent that they've got in that squad, as you say, it's ominous for everyone else in the league.
Rovers manager Stephen Bradley spoke to Stephen Doyle following the match and talked about playing the next few games without captain Pico Lopez as he goes to the World Cup with Cape Verde.
Yeah, it is. Look, I'd imagine that would be Pico if he won't play for us again until after the World Cup, and imagine, you know, we could get him back, but I don't see we take that risk. It doesn't make sense. So, look at the players that are playing there tonight. You've got Enda, has played in, at the highest level for a number of years. You've got Lee as being one of the best in the country for a long time, and Dan is very similar and has won so many titles. So when you have that three, yeah, you're really comfortable. Obviously, Pico's a top player, but the three players, they're not three kids that come in and trying to learn the game. They're three top players, so yeah, it's an easy transition.
On Wednesday's LOI pod, Johnny Dunleavy talked about life at Rovers without Pico for the next few weeks.
This Rovers defence, do you think it's going to be okay while Pico's away, Johnny?
Oh, look, it would be a big blow to any team to be losing their captain and a player of that calibre. And, you know, Pico is no different. Like, I suppose, I remember when we were playing and he was opposed and stuff, probably didn't expect him to go on and have as outstanding a career as he has had. And he's been phenomenal for Shamrock Rovers. And as you say, almost to the point of being irreplaceable. But as you mentioned, they do have an awful lot of experience to come into that team. And the way that they play and the way that they're coached and how everyone is, I suppose, they know down to, as Vinny mentioned earlier, like an inch of its life, the formation, where to be, their positional play. And Stephen Bradley will already be working on that with and without Pico. The lads will know exactly where they should be slotting in. And, I mean, outside of that, the experience that Adam Matthews has, whether it's he slots into that position, whether it's Enda Stevens slots in on the left-hand side of the three, you know, I don't see it being a significant weakness for them, or I don't see it being something that's really going to cost them in the long run. For all that, you know, Pico will definitely be a loss, of course.
You can listen to the full LOI pod in your OTP podcast feeds. Galway manager John Caulfield also talked to Stephen last night about how difficult it is to keep his side stable with several injuries on the team.
Yeah, no, that's good. I can't, like, it's, you know, sometimes, you know, you look back and, you know, there are days when you might lose a match and you'll be really gutted because you know you didn't do things right. But today, like, what was wrong for us is that we give two soft goals away. But at the same time, in the second half, we scored, and for 20-25 minutes, you could see we were, I won't say we were camped in their half, but certainly we had them under a lot of pressure, and we caused them a lot of problems, and they were certainly worried about us. So if you got back to 2-2, it might have been a different story, but we didn't. And you know, if we're down a couple of players, you know, tonight now we couldn't fill the bench, which is, you know, it just shows you how quick they can change. You know, you have everyone fit, and we're a match for nearly every team. And but if you get three or four injuries, because obviously Parker got injured 2 weeks ago, so he's also missing the right back, then, you know, it tests your squad, and that's why they're at the top, and we're down scrapping in halfway down the table.
Drogheda United picked up the third win in four games as they pipped Derry City to a 1-0 win at Sullivan and Land Park. Ryan Brennan converted a penalty after Warren Davis was brought down in the box by Jamie Stott in the second half. Derry City manager Tiernan Lynch spoke to LOI TV following the match about his side's performance.
I don't think Drogheda troubled us too much tonight in any way, shape or form, but the penalty obviously killed us. So, as I said, I'm very conscious of what I say because I don't want to be critical of the players. I'm not going to try and jump on a bandwagon because of the result. I actually thought they were very good. We've asked them the last number of weeks to try and get on the ball, try and be braver, try and get back to playing, try and get our identity back a little bit, but now we need to start getting goals and stop conceding goals.
This win for Drogheda puts the Louth side in 6th, level on 19 points with the Candy Stripes in 5th as goal difference just separates the sides. Bohemians have picked up their first win since the 13th of March with a 3-1 away win over Dundalk. The Lilywhites went 1-0 up in the first half through a great goal from Aidan Durbin, but it was the second half which defined the match as Bohs put on the pressure and equalised early on through a goal from Ross Tierney. The Bohs midfielder was later brought down by Rob Cornwall, who was sent off as Douglas James Taylor converted the resulting penalty to put the Dublin side 2-1 up. Late on in the match, Bohemians finished off in style as Zane Morris got a stoppage time goal to secure the win and get Bohs back to winning ways. Manager Alan Reynolds spoke to LOI TV following the match about his changes in the second half.
Yeah, look, mate, we put on Dougie, played with two strikers, and some weeks it works, some weeks it doesn't, but you're right, I think, you know, Dale Rooney works his socks off. I thought he was really good. Ross Tierney, really good, working extremely hard. In fairness to them all, they go and they dig in, but I think they forgot what it feels like to win, and you could see that at the end of the game.
Dundalk now sitting in fourth place, just 3 points off winners Bohemians in third on 25 points. St Patrick's Athletic kept the pressure on neighbour Shamrock Rovers as they picked up a 4-1 win over Waterford. The Blues, who appointed new manager Graeme Coughlin, led early thanks to a Tommy Lonigan goal, but it was Zach Ebbetzetti who swung the match in the favour of the hosts as he picked up his brace in the second half. Goals from Pats also came from a Chris Forrester penalty in the first half and a Ryan Edmondson goal in the latter stages of the match to secure the win for the Saints. In the First Division, Cork got back to the top of the table as they beat UCD 3-1 at home. Athlone Town and 3D United played out a 0-0 draw. Bray Wanderers gave Co Ramblers its 5-1 drubbing thanks to a first half Ben McCormick hat-trick. Finn Harps picked up a 1-0 home win over Kerry, and Longford Town got a 2-1 away win over Wexford. The Avenir All-Ireland Cup is back this weekend as we have a full slate of fixtures across the four groups today and tomorrow. In Group A, Shamrock Rovers host Sligo Rovers at 3 o'clock, while Linfield travel down to play Wexford at 6 o'clock. In Group B, Piemont United host DLR Waves at 5 o'clock, while on Sunday Lisbon Rangers host Galway United at 3 o'clock. In Group C, it's a Munster derby as Cork City welcome 3D United to Turner's Cross at 3 o'clock, while on Sunday Cliftonville Ladies host Athlone Town at 2 o'clock. And finally, in Group D, it's a Dublin derby day yet again as Tolka Park Place hosts Shelburne versus Bohemians at 4 o'clock, while on Sunday Glentoran hosts Waterford at 5 o'clock. Next week, it's a packed week for both divisions, as in the Premier Division, Bohemians welcome Drogheda United to Dalyman Park, St Patrick's Athletic host Shelburne hoping to catch up to Shamrock Rovers, Derry City travel down to Waterford, leaders Shamrock Rovers play away to Dundalk. That is an 8 o'clock kickoff and is also our live and exclusive commentary, as Ben Symes and Vinnie Perth will be on hand in Oriel Park for the crucial match in the top half of the table. You can listen to that on Off the Ball on News Talk and the Goalhead app. And finally, on Saturday, Sligo Rovers host Galway United at 7:45. In the First Division next week, Cove Ramblers welcome Athlone Town, Wexford travel west to Kerry, 3D United host Finn Harps, second place UCD host Bray Wanderers, and on Saturday, leaders Cork City travel to Longford Town. That is a 7:30 kickoff. You can get more in-depth analysis, reaction and news from across the League of Ireland and Off the Ball, including the LOI pod on Wednesday with Stephen Dole, Vinnie Perth and Garrett McGlynn, LOI Late Night with Ben Symes, Shane Keegan and you, the fans, our live commentary next Friday, as well as our Irish football-focused segments across Off the Ball and OTB Breakfast. We'll be back next week. Take care.
League of Ireland. On Off the Ball.